quickly along, but I trust that you're doing well this morning, and that you have a sense about you that God's doing something in your life, that you're aware, even this morning, is that you've come to this place, that God is here. And that's significant, even as we've already said. And so we say, you know, you come to this place that God is here, and that you are plugged in to the God who is here. And so that there is something also, as much as it happens to us corporately when we come together, and something does happen, but that where you're at, you know, what you're going through, what you're facing, the stuff on the inside of you and the circumstances and situations of your life, that you will have a sense about you of God in the middle of it. God in the middle of it. And that's my prayer for you today. Is that cool? Good. Okay. So, but here we go. Let's talk together for a little while, all right? And as I say, we have a couple of surprises that we'll do. No, we're not giving away trips to Hawaii, but that would be a good surprise. I could tell you that right now. That would be a big surprise, and I would fix it so that I would win. But anyways, we do have some pretty cool surprises, I think, better than giving away a trip to Hawaii. But I want us, as is our custom, to find continued encouragement and strengthening by going to the Word this morning. I would like to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, a very famous scripture verse that you probably know off the top of your head. And as we look at by faith this morning, and even as it says there in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, what does it say?
We walk by faith.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Exactly. And who hasn't heard that before, right? And so I pray that this morning, as we continue to look at God's Word and talk about these things together, that we'll have not only a greater appreciation for what it means to walk by faith, but we'll road test this message this morning, and we're going to have an opportunity to do that. You'll have an opportunity to do that in your life, I guarantee you. But anyway, so 2 Corinthians 5, 7, that's we're looking at that. Now, let me just look at a couple of other scripture verses. How can we talk about faith and not go to Hebrews chapter 11, right? Hebrews chapter 11. And we know Hebrews chapter 11 is what?
Faith.
The faith chapter, exactly. And so we go to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm not going to read much there except to draw your attention to this chapter in the Bible that we call the faith chapter, and we're given example after example of what it means to walk, to live our lives by faith. In fact, almost every one of the several verses in this chapter starts out how? By faith. By faith, as you read it. There, by faith, by faith, by faith. And then just drawing your attention to one verse, whereas at verse 6 it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Possible to please God. Again, showing that the relationship that we're in with God is a connection by faith. And then he says, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. So there is this personal relationship, this connection with God. God exists. God is. God is. And I have this self-evident awareness that God is. He just is. God is. By faith, I believe that. And it's pleasing to God that I do. And then also that God comes through for, that God rewards those who seek him. That it's never the kind of thing, remember the old image that we would have of the carrot in front of the donkey to make the cart go? Some of you know that, you know. And the poor little donkey never gets the carrot, you know. But he makes the cart go. And in our lives, as we walk by faith and we go with God, and we have this sense that, you know, God has something for us, it's never where he doesn't deliver. He delivers. As we seek him, you get the carrot. He rewards us. And boy, we could take a lot of time with that, and that's not my intention this morning. But just to see it here, located, if you're in business, you don't ever want to talk about chapter 11. But anyways, we're not. We're in the business of walking with Jesus, and Hebrews chapter 11 is a good chapter to look at. And then one other scripture that I want you to see, and that's from Jesus speaking in Mark chapter 11. And he makes some bold statements about faith. Matthew chapter 11. And I would dare say that anytime you see any, Mark 11, sorry. What did I say? I don't know. I was being a little dyslexic on the names there. But anyways, Mark 11, and, you know, to say that Jesus is making a bold statement here about faith, which he does, but he pinpoints something for us that I want to draw your attention to. But I would dare say, in the Bible, whenever you come across faith, it's always a bold statement. It's always a bold. It's something bold. And so here he says in Mark 11, where he is going to teach them something, and he's going to teach them about faith. In Mark 11:22, he says, "Have faith in God." Now you see that there? Have faith in God. Now Jesus they're noticing something that Jesus did by, you know, speaking to a tree. And when he spoke to the tree withered. There was an immediate result as a consequence of Jesus saying something, speaking his word into the tree's life, if you will. And something happened as a result. And they saw the results of Jesus speaking into the life of that tree. And they said, ay, ay, ay. It's there, it's there. Ay, ay, ay. And so Jesus then says to them, He pinpoints, now this is important, that he draws them to connect to where their faith ought to be connected. Have faith in God. And that's what he says. Have faith in God. And he goes on, and he says a remarkable thing. He says, I'm going to tell you straight. If anyone says to this mountain, and he's pointing to one of the mountains, and he says, if you say to this mountain right here, and look what he says, go, throw yourself into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that what you say shall happen, it will go into the sea. That's pretty radical when it comes to faith. He says, therefore I tell you, verse 24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have already received it, and it will be yours. Powerful by faith. Help me as we pray. And so, Father, as we're here in your presence together, as we've already said a couple of times, this is your house. And we have come to your house, Lord, together, submitting to you. And also, Lord, we say, Father, that you have given us of your Spirit, that you would draw near now and say something to us. Help us, Lord, to understand this walk that you've called us to by faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here we are. Let's say some things and get to the surprise, okay? Here's the first thing. You can't make it without faith. If there's anything that we need in our lives to make it in life, it's faith. Now, whenever we speak about faith, I think that we conjure up wrong ideas about what faith is. We have this fuzzy sense that it's some kind of metaphysical force that I have to work up that connects me to God, almost a magical kind of thing that, man, if you get, you know, the right incantation, you know, all lined up, whatever, presto, change-o, God delivers. because you have exercised faith. And I want to say immediately, no. It's far from that. In fact, I would put it like this, that faith is something that everyone was given. When God created us, He put into our DNA faith. So that I can say that life takes faith to work. Everyday life takes faith to work. Think about it for a moment. You got up this morning and you had faith that you had coffee in the cupboard.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking miracles. You talk about faith delivering, baby. You know? And you had faith that you were going to make your coffee. And you get up on Monday morning, and you have faith that when you get out of bed, you get dressed, you're going to go to your vehicle, it's going to start, and you're going to make it to work. You have faith. And on and on and on we could go, mentioning all those kinds of things, everything in between coffee and going to work. We can mention all kinds of stuff that we take for granted, but yet at the same time, we believe. We have this sense about us that we just believe. You know, I believe that tomorrow, as today was, the sun came up. I believe tomorrow the same is going to happen. There is faith. And that faith has been put into the DNA of all of us. I call that everyday faith. So that it isn't this some kind of, you know, magical, metaphysical, hocus-pocus, you know, forceful kind of only special people have this special ingredient of faith that really works for them. No, you have faith, and so do I. Everyday faith. Now, the trick is, in as much as life takes faith to work, everyday faith, and we believe that, you know, because we have this everyday faith that we can count on things working, we can count on them working for our benefit, for our safety, for our protection, that we also go, and for our enjoyment, we also must go further and see that the reason for this faith being in our lives is that we might connect with God, because it takes faith to connect with God. The Christian life is nothing if not living by faith in God. You don't read the Bible long before you discover that it takes faith. Hundreds of times is the word faith, or one of its cognates, believing, believe, all those kinds of things, is mentioned in the Bible. You don't get very far in reading the Bible that you see faith, and faith coming into play, faith coming into action, and how it is that faith works, right? Look at all the examples in the Bible. We looked at Hebrews 11, but you read over and over and over again. And how it was, as it says in Hebrews 11, how God thought people who exercised faith were special people and they were commended for it. Their what? Their faith. Their faith. So much is said about faith in the Bible. It could take a lifetime just to study that one topic. From being of little faith, right? Little faith people. And it's interesting, but when he talks about faith, it isn't so much that you have little faith as much as it is you are of little faith, you know? It isn't so much that you are, you know, that you have great faith as much as you are great in faith. So there's something about this faith that really we got to connect to by faith and having faith in God. So for faith to work as God would have it to work in our lives, we have to start with this little passage here in Mark chapter 11 in the one little phrase where he says, have faith in God. Some of you have seen the classic, I consider it a classic movie, right up there with The Sound of Music, plays Phantom of the Opera, whatever. I mean, what's the one there? Victor Hugo's play, Les Miserables, right? It's right up there, and that is Nacho Libre. Now, so, I mean, it is. And some of you have seen that, right? Nacho Libre. If you haven't, for heaven's sake, buy it, rent it, download it. You got it. It's just a classic. And Escalerto in the movie, right? His Nacho's sidekick. Remember where Nacho, of course, believes in God, and he says to him, what? I don't believe in God. I believe in what? Oh, with sheltered lives. These classics like this, you don't know the dialogue. He says, I believe in science. I believe in science, he says. And it takes faith to believe in anything, see? It's not that there is this kind of, you know, pitting against each other of faith and science, or what's material and what is immaterial, what's spiritual and what's physical, and faith works in this realm but doesn't work. No, everything takes faith, as we have said. Even science takes faith. The question is, where am I connecting my faith? See, where am I connecting my faith? And Jesus tells, and this is how God made us. God made me to have faith in him. When I have faith in him, everything else lines up in life. Everything. I like what someone said one time. They said, you say, what is faith? Well, faith is the living link. Watch now. Faith is the living link that links us to the living God. Have faith in God. So that my faith is something more than just me saying, this is what I believe. Okay, this is what I believe. I believe this, I don't believe that. And even if you want to put good things in the slot of what you believe, well, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, absolutely. And all those other things that we can put there with I believe. We have to go further than that, even as it says here, we must start with, for faith to work in our lives, for faith to work in your life, as God would have it to work, we must start with, I have faith in God. So that faith for me is more than just, well, I believe. I believe. No, faith for me is, I have a living, vital connection to the living, real God. I know him. I talk to him. I talked to him this morning. And he spoke back, because I have this personal, relational connection with the living God. That's where my faith is. You understand? My faith is in a person, not in an object, not in something. Everything else falls into place in my life because there is God. And this is what Hebrews says. If you're going to come to God, you have to believe that he exists. God is. He is. God exists. He's real. And that I believe that as I order my life accordingly, I know his rewards in my life. That takes faith. So that's the first thing. Faith for me is personal. Faith is living. Here's the second thing. All right? Here's the second thing. Not only do I have faith in God, but I have faith in his word. Now, we started out this year, as we do almost every year since I've been here as pastor now. No, it hasn't been that many, Bob. It seems like that many. 6 years. Going on 7 years. That the importance of starting the year and doing our devotions daily, right? Do devotions daily. Someone ought to turn that into a rap. Do devotions daily. I can't do it. I have no musical ability. But it would work. Do devotions daily. Yeah, do devotions daily. Come on, you could do it. And we spoke about that at length for the first several weeks as we began the new year. And of course, doing devotions daily means that we get into God's Word, right? We get into God's Word. That we have this daily reading plan where we're looking into the Word, we're getting into the Word. Now, here's the rub with all of that. Here's the rub with all of that. God's Word stops there on the printed page, unless, of course, you mix it with faith, which allows God's Word to get into you. Then it works. See, it's not to suggest in any way that God's Word is any less than what it is if I don't exercise faith, but how it works in my life is less if I don't mix it with faith. Is that cool? You got that? And so the other thing we understand when we say by faith, it's not enough that I come to God's word, but I must, by faith, apply God's word in my life. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, if you want to write it down, look at it afterwards, speaks about Israel's disobedience and how it was that they failed to go into what God had promised them. So God gave to them his promises and his word. And it says that they failed God repeatedly. And it says they failed in particular, it says it there, because they did not mix his word with faith in their lives. And so it's one thing to get into God's word, and it's another thing for his word to get into us. And the only way that it gets there is by faith. And you know that it got in there by faith when what we see on the printed page becomes living in living color. Remember the NBC Peacock? You have to be at least over what? 50? But in living color, yeah, you probably do have to be over 50. That's a shame. But to see these things alive and working in our lives, that we mix it with faith, and when it does become active in our lives, you know you got it. You have been obedient to the word when the word becomes an action out of my life. That's having faith. Isn't that simple? I mean, that's having faith. Faith works. Faith works. It really does work. And so I'm taking it off the printed page, and faith does. Faith takes this word off the printed page and puts it in my living situations. You take an adverse circumstance that you might be in. Let's say that you're running low on money. You ever run low on money? You know, and it happens for one reason or another, right? You know, and so it's now, you know, it's like, what do you do? You know, what do you do? Well, you know, I tell Sandra, you know, she's got two jobs already. Sandra, we're running a little low. Get a third job. You know, God's going to answer our prayers. Get a third job. You know, and she blows me off. But you know, and we're so quick to come up with ways instead of saying, hey, right here in this situation in my life, whatever it be, let's apply a little faith. Let's bring God, who is and rewards those who seek him, into my circumstances. Wow. You know, it's like we have, you know, it's like, you know, when all, you know, it's like when all else fails, pray. Yeah. Right? And it should be before all else fails, what? Pray. But the thing is, listen, there's no stopping life, right? You know, the bumper sticker happens in life, right? And there's no stopping that. But there is this, as we have been called as Christians to live by faith, that into that, though I can't stop into that, I mix faith with God's word into all of that. And we then find ourselves, instead of walking by what we see, walking by faith. And here's the cool thing about it. It doesn't mean for me to walk by faith and have the victory over something that the circumstances have to change. It doesn't mean the circumstances have to change. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because why? You are with me. As I am doing what? Walking through. Now, I'm telling you, I'd rather walk around, walk over, jump over, go under. See? Whatever they are. But the reality is that they're walking by faith and not by sight brings us through these things, applying his word. It's like, well, you know, we got these exciting things that we're going to be doing, but there's going to be awful challenges. Well, I hope so, because that will prove to us how it is that God is able to bring us through, by faith, those awful challenges. Who gets the glory? He does. Come on, this is where we live. This is where we live. Here's the last one, and I'm done. You know me all too well, don't you? This is the last one. There it comes down. Only two more. This is the first, last one. Okay, here's the last one. So it's, you know, we start with faith in God. Faith is the living link that links me to the living God. We move on to faith in His Word. Faith in His Word. I believe God. Listen, I got to be careful I don't get stuck in any of these. Where did Eve get stuck? See? She didn't have faith in God's Word. And what did the devil do to her? That's what he attacked her on. See, we attacked her on, heaven forbid, he couldn't attack her. God's not real. That was a settled issue for her. I just saw him and we just spoke together. You know, now you're telling me he's not real. But how did he attack her? Did God really say that, Eve? He wiggled in with what? Doubt. See? And that, if Eve would have said, wait a minute, devil. What God said was, see, mix with the word with faith. Oh, she would have survived, and Adam would have stayed out of trouble. So, it's in the Bible. It's in there. It's in there. It's there. So, then, and so the last one is this. So, faith in God, faith in His Word, and the last one is faith in God's promises. See, faith in God's promises. Now, I got to add this little caveat, a caution caveat to this last one, and that is this. We have to beware that our promises that we're believing and that we're putting our faith in are not self-made promises. Got to be careful of that. We have to be careful. You know, we say things like, well, God said to me. And then next week, I don't think God said that. He said this, you know, now, this week. You know, every week God says something new and changes His mind. And it's because, because we have these manufactured promises that we come up with, and we have to be careful. About those kinds of things, these delusions, these spiritual delusions of grandeur, you know, of what God's going to do, what God said, and all these things. And how many Christians go shipwrecked because God doesn't come through for their self-made promise? And God is standing on the sideline, you know, brokenhearted that we have gone after something He had no intention for us to go after. He had something better for us. He does have promises for every one of your lives. And that's the first thing the second thing that I want to say about that. The first thing is beware of self-made promises. The second thing is this. God has put a promise into your life. He has given you promises. And you can believe in those promises that God has spoken into your life. You can believe it. You can bank on it. You can believe that God will come through and help you to come through. Now, granted, sometimes it's a search, isn't it? We have to find those promises that He has spoken into our lives. It is. It's such. It's such is the case. And when we find them, we have to stand upon them. And there are going to be all kinds of things that happen to try and derail or detour, to stop us from believing in God for the fulfillment of those promises. Life has, once again, has a way of doing that to us, right? And this is where faith comes into play. See, this is where faith comes into play. Now, I have faith in the promise of God. You look at Abraham when it comes to this kind of thing. So God comes to Abraham and He says, Abraham, come on out here. And he says, yes, God, here I am. He says, you're going to have a son. He said, God, you told me this many years ago, and I believed you. But I'm pushing 100. Sarah, watch now. Sarah, he says, God, she's as old as the day is long as well. And not only that, you see, because, I mean, I mean, it isn't just that Sarah went through menopause. You understand? It isn't just that she went through menopause. But what do we know about Sarah? She couldn't have children when she was in childbearing age. And then God comes on the scene when they're as old as dirt, and he says, the promises that I made to you about having a son, I'm going to fulfill. Listen, if you were Sarah, you'd be rolling on the floor laughing as well. Are you? Right. Right. You know? And then she looks at Abraham. We're going to, you know. She says, I don't think so. Looking at Abraham. Oh, yeah. He just hasn't got it anymore, let alone I know where I'm at. But yet, what did God do? He fulfilled his promises to them because their faith was kept alive. You want to know what keeps faith alive? Have you ever said to yourself, I just don't have it. I just don't believe it anymore. I want to tell you what keeps your faith alive. Hope keeps your faith alive. And it says in Scripture, see, listen, you know what it says about Abraham? You read it in Romans chapter 4. It says that Abraham didn't waver in faith. He didn't believe God. He had a child with Hagar, right? And you got Ishmael, and he didn't waver in faith. I say, he wavered in faith. God says, nah, he didn't waver in faith. Because when his faith was weak, it says he hoped against hope, and he knew that a day was coming when Sarah would give birth to Isaac. Phew. That's powerful. That's powerful. See, I have dreams. I have dreams about my life, and I say, God, you know, I don't see how these dreams could come. I'm 60, God. And, of course, I mean, that's not over the hill, but I made the turn. I'm approaching the crest of the hill. And I say, God, if you don't come through in a hurry here, these dreams that I have, I just don't see it. And then I have to remind myself. You know, and you look at, for this is not a political statement. We keep politics out of here until we get home. But you look at Hillary Clinton. She's 60 what? 60, 69? Donald Trump, 69? Bernie Sanders, 74. Looks 95. But the thing about them, though, look, do you understand the pace? And what they're going for? I mean, they got to be credited for that. I said, there's hope for me. Winston Churchill was in his 60s when he became prime minister of Great Britain and led the country in what no other man could lead the country through, the World War. Incredible. You say, well, listen, God has made promise to you. He's going to deliver. Don't interpret time into it. Don't put time into it. Don't put time into it. Don't put circumstances into it. Bank on it. God made promise to you. He's going to deliver. Why? He's God. Say that again, Bob. You need to hear it. Okay. Amen. Let's pray. Father, and so, Lord, as we present these things, and Lord, you know my heart. I'm not anxious about this. Hey, it's in your hands, God. This comes up, that comes up. But, Lord, despite all of that kind of stuff, wouldn't you be pleased, Lord, to release to us those kinds of things that only can come from you as are necessary. Lord, to do that what you have decreed in your own heart and have spoken for us to do in this place. Because we believe that this is hallowed ground. We believe that you put your name here a long time ago and that you have watched over this place year after year after year. And I believe that you have also put it in the heart of a very few who are yet in this room You put it into their hearts when they could have said, you know what, we're done here. This place is done. But yet, Lord, you kept it. You kept this place alive. And yet what you want to do, you kept alive in their hearts. And they have stood by faithfully. Stood by faithfully that vision. And so now, Lord, be pleased to open up doors, to release finances, to give us favor with the right people. Lord God, that we'd have a sense about us of faith arising in all of our hearts to see what you want done in our lives. And Father, that there be about us this sense of what we're doing is that broken lives can be made whole. Lives that are in a mess might be cleaned up. Even as we said, for now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. Let it be, I pray. And so, Lord, we commit these things to you and more in Christ's name. God bless you.